My heart again, and you have, oh,
captured my heart again.
You have
captured my heart. You captured my heart. You captured my heart again. You have captured my heart. You captured my heart. You captured my heart again.
You have captured my heart. Captured my heart, you captured my heart again. You have captured my heart, you captured my heart, you captured my heart again. And I'm free. I'm free forever.
Say that This isn't your dad's church, but it is your daddy's church. And you're going to find out why in a second. But so we kind of look at this crazy weather we're having. You know, it's kind of up and down. So we had this. So we're all kind of California dreaming today. Y'all want to stand up and channel your big white boot mode, you know, and baby doll dresses and colored glasses?
All the leaves are brown,
the leaves are brown,
and the sky is gray. I passed along the way. Well, I got down on my knees. And I pretend to pray. You know the preacher likes to call. He knows I'm gonna stay. California dreaming. On such a winter's day. All the leaves are brown,
the leaves are brown,
and the sky is gray,
and the sky is gray.
I've been for a walk,
been for a walk,
on a winter's day,
on a winter's day.
If I didn't tell her,
if I didn't tell her,
I could leave today,
I could leave today.
California dreaming,
California dreaming,
on such a winter's day. On such a winter's day,
California dreaming.
On such a winter's day.
All right. And ultimately, it's not about us as mamas and papas. It's about our papa in the sky, right, and in our hearts. His name is God, and we love him, and we love his son, Jesus Christ, because he makes all things possible. Amen? Amen. So we like to have fun. We actually started playing that song about 8 years ago in Wayne's house when we used to practice just to have some fun. And we just started playing around the other night. We're like, yeah, let's go. Sometimes it'd be nice to have some warm weather. So you may see that again.
That's our first time singing it, though.
That's right. Yeah. So, and here we have nobody wants to be Mama Cass. I don't know why. Papa John, whatever. But we're just glad you're all here today. We just want to worship the Lord and just have some awesome time connecting to him because that's what it's all about. And if you're like me, life kind of throws you stuff and you kind of get disconnected from God during the week at times. Am I right? And it's hard. It's hard in this one nation under God to stay connected to God at times. And so... whether it be sickness, whether it just be focus, whether it be work, whether it be life, whatever it may be, whether it be hardships, we serve a mighty God. Amen? And so what I want you to do is just worship God. Just let go and worship him. Just let him, it says he inhabits our praise. And so what is praise is just letting go and letting God just fill your heart with his Holy Spirit. Amen?
defeated the grave, raised to life. Our God is able in his name. We overcome, for the Lord our God is
and live.
rising up. All around, it's the end of love. The lows renowned.
Hear you.
And together we see. And everyone sees. Holy is the Lord. Is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
Because He lives.
Because He lives, I can face.
God, we just thank You that through all things, it seems like the theme word today is that through everything going on, You are there, You are God, and You are very present. And life is worth living because You live. And so, God, right now, I just pray for everybody who is struggling, everybody who is just seeking Your face, people who are everything seems good, but they're struggling with health or whatever it may be, that right now, God, let them hear that, God, You are able and that You are holy and You are the Lord. And because You live, all things are possible through You. And for that, we give You praise. God, we just ask for this service to just be totally about You and just touch our hearts and our lives. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son and our Lord, who we love deeply. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. All right, say hi to somebody as our children and our young people are going to our Shoreline Sunday School. All right, good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. And everybody online, you go. Good morning. All right, there we go. Good to have you all here and good to see you. Good to be seen and good online. And we're glad that you're all connected, working. Some of you may be working. Some of you may be working on something that are online. Several of you are here, and we're just thankful to God that you are. It's awesome to be here. And we're all everybody thankful that you didn't get a ton of snow or a little bit of snow, right? Okay, and the ice wasn't too bad, and that's awesome. So, all right. First things first, welcome. If you're visiting with us today, welcome. We hope that you if you're your first time here or you've been here and you haven't received a card, hopefully you received that when you came in. Go ahead, fill that out, and we have a small gift for you if you'll take it right back here. Thank you. If you're joining us online for the first time, by all means, connect with us, whether send an email info@havencc.org, or if you want to go ahead and just go to our Facebook page, we'd love to hear from you and just say hey and let you know that you're watching. We have several things going on. Debbie, how we doing? Joanne, how we doing? Hanging in. TikTok, right? Okay. It's been an awesome week. Debbie and Joanne, stand up where you are. Okay, just go ahead. They're awesome. Some of you are like, some people right now are, why am I clapping for these two random people, okay? But they're just doing it, okay? Hey, who are they? They have coordinated and take the lead role in our rotating shelter, and it doesn't just happen this week. This is when they get really tired and take their own time and do that, and they're there all the time. Different group this year, but they just have a heart for that, and I want to thank you personally. You can just breathe after this week, and right about now is when you're saying we are never doing this again, okay? And then God softens their heart and they go back. But that's been awesome, and they just do a fantastic job of loving people, I'm just thankful for your leadership and guidance in that. So thank you. As that winds to a close, our service this week. But keep in mind, when our service stops, other churches are kicking in there. We hope. Because I know at times there's been gaps, but it's in epidemic proportions, if you know. So, other things that we want to touch on. Today is Parish Foundation today. Is that right? Today and February 19th. So we've got some of them. We're good for today for help, but February 19th, start signing up now. It's another awesome experience that you can have there if you would like to. Men's group. Our men's group is going to kick back up. Jake, where's Jake? I see him back there in the back row with the baby. You have to be a male, all right? Show up here at 6:30 on Tuesday. And I know there's lots of stuff here on Tuesday. It's awesome. Don't panic. We're already working on those. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to use the whole facility, which is awesome. So go ahead and connect. They're going to have some fun stuff planned, just a way to connect with men and different means of that. All right. Let's see. I got some other things here. Year-end tax letters are available today. If you gave last year and you need those reports for those wonderful things that come in April called taxes, it's right back there out in the area there. Lounge, there we go, that's what we'll call it. The lounge out there, go ahead and pick those up. If you don't, we're going to probably have to mail those off, right? Or put them in a cylinder in a can. But no, we want you to get them. Go ahead and please pick those up, if you will, so that we can make sure you get those. Okay, a couple other things. Let me see if there's anything else here. Dining for Women, you have to be female for that one. Save the date, Mardi Gras, February 15th at 6:30. And I know Judy loves that one, and her information's there, and she's already decorated and set up, right? Okay, right? Okay. Okay, so I know we have a couple people are going to speak. We've got number one, Wes. You're going to come on up and share about something, about some mission opportunities and some other things. Here's Wes.
The Haven Mission Committee has decided to sponsor Miriam's Table. It's a feeding program in Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of Congo. And a brief history about that is, in 2002, the Peninsula Delaware Conference of the Methodist Church partnered with the Central Congo Conference. And I went on two mission trips, one in 2004 and another in 2010. In 2004, they were still deciding which children were well enough to feed, because they didn't have food to feed those that wouldn't make it. And in 2010, Susie Kiefer went on the trip to Kinshasa. And that Greek word of yours, phlegmiphophi, she had such a compassion for the children, she went back on a trip every year. One year she went twice and adopted a young girl, her and her husband, Miriam. And in the next year, people that heard about how well the feeding program was going at the the one part of MPASA came up and asked if somebody couldn't feed their children. So Susie, with the support of her husband, on her own, started Miriam's Table. And now they went from feeding 50 to 100 children when they first went down there to 350 to 400 a day now. 5 days a week, they feed Sunday through Thursday. So, as I said, the church has decided to support that mission. And we have bread boxes out in the lounge, the lobby. If you'd pick one up and fill it with change, dollars, checks, whatever you decide, and bring them back by February 19th, because Susie will be here to tell us more about Miriam's Table. And if you have any questions, then I'll be back there along with my wife, Emily, and we'll try to answer any you have.
And also, was Taylor going to share today? No, okay, that's good. Okay, I knew somebody said they were going to. Don't worry about it. I was told, so I just wanted to check. All right, so we're good there, and we have some other things. We want to definitely go ahead and continue that. This church has been very, very giving in the last year or so, and we're going to continue that and continue in that labor. Yes? Did she want to? Sure, come on up. What the heck? You guys ain't got nothing to do, right? Okay. Oh, Andy's got it. Good. Hi, Taylor.
Hello.
There you go.
All right. So last weekend, I was in Ocean City with my youth group, and I'm in this competition for sermon writing. It's called Spit in the Word. I do it. This is my second year doing it, and this year I came in second. But our theme this year was, This is Love, and it was 1 John 4:10. So I would like to share my sermon with you guys. Would you be all right with that? Okay. Let's ask this question. What is love? How do we define it? The Google definition of the word love is an intense feeling of deep affection. The definitions vary based off of our past and what we expect for the future. For my definition will be far different in meaning than yours or yours. My definition of the word love is learning to care and trust for someone just as much as they are willing to do so for you. But the highest and most gracious definition of the word love is agape, the Greek word meaning the unconditional love of God for his children. Agape embraces a universal, unconditional love that transcends and serves regardless of the circumstances. This past summer had a huge impact on my life. It was the summer where I told my dad I wanted to live with my mom full time. Prior to August 7th of 2016, my father and I had argued on countless occasions. I was getting in trouble for reasons I couldn't tell you why. What I did was all a question to me. It was a really rough time for me, and it still is. My father and I did not leave each other on good terms. I was told to call them when I wanted to see them. They weren't going to call me. I had constantly asked myself, did I have a room there anymore? Was it painted a different color? What happened to all my belongings, my keepsakes? Are they gone? Did they even care about my feelings? Telling people that I cared about and who cared for me also to not talk to me. How does that make me feel? Can I see my sister sometime soon? Because I haven't spoken to them in over 5 months now. I have this strong feeling of betrayal, like all that had happened to me was all my fault. Nothing went the way I had planned. Everything was blown out of proportion. These moments of betrayal are a lot like Jesus when he was arrested and then crucified. Everyone he knew and trusted for ages turned their backs on him. Jesus trusted these people as I did my dad. He was abandoned and left alone, but out of these feelings of despair and loneliness, he did not love them any less. Before I had gotten out of the car, my dad said one thing to me that I will never forget. He said, "Taylor, I will always love you, no matter what." This stuck to the back of my mind because my father's quote had sounded so familiar, yet so unique. It's just like God's love for us. As stated in 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So no matter how much I pray or how much I talk to my dad, whether I attend church or I don't, how much I sin or how mad I get, it doesn't matter. He loves us. Both of my fathers will always love me, no matter what. Whether it's my father in Earlville or my father in heaven, no matter the circumstances, someone loves me. Someone loves you. Someone loves all of us. No matter how many bad things we do, what race we are, or what our past may have been. To me, that is a true definition of the word love. That is love.
All right, time to go home. I'd hate to see who won. Good Lord. I'd probably finish like 105th or something. So awesome job. I know, Teresa, you guys were impacted awesomely. Jen, we have like people who lead a couple different youth groups in here. It's pretty awesome in our church, so that's good. So, all right, well, I guess we better pray, huh? We got to lift up some people for prayer. And we have Bill for continued prayers for Ray and Barb Caldwell with their health issues. Joanna asked praises, what we already lifted up, for Debbie and Joanne for an amazing job at the shelter. And continue to lift up Gary Ashby. I saw, and Liz, as you know, those who are traveling back and forth to care, he is in Health South now. He has good days and bad days, but I got to see him on a good day, and I got to joke with him a little bit. Also pray for Trenton Johnson. I see Nancy. How's Trenton doing? Okay, Trenton, the other day when they had the black ice, Trenton was in an accident and had to have facial surgery because of it. So we want to lift Trenton up in your prayers. Many of you who are on the prayer list got that as well. So we want to we have get well cards. Please sign them on your way out, if you would. Where are they at? Which side? That side. Okay, so make your way over there, and we'll get those get well cards. All right, anyone else to lift up real quickly in prayer? Yeah, Dale. Okay. So Betty, we're going to lift her up in prayers, esophageal cancer and lungs, so we want to lift her up. May you know the Ross family. I've known her from way back. Yeah. Brandon, yes, definitely. Tommy and Rachel's son, Brandon, lift him up in prayers. He's had to have surgery this week, due to Crohn's and other kinds of things. So continue to lift him up as well. Anybody else? Yes, Donna. Okay, Donna's brother Mike needs to have back surgery. Yes. Yes, Brenda Ingram, right? Brenda Ingram from back in my early days of ministry. In Morris Chapel, I remember Brenda, she passed away this past week. They had lived in North Carolina? Mississippi, okay. I knew they moved a couple times, but they were down there. And so lift that whole family up, if you would. Okay, anyone else? All right, let's go. Oh, yeah, right here. Jenny's having surgery for your eyes? So you get to see me better? Okay, there we go. And I know Judy's going to be facing surgery here soon, right? So for gallbladder stuff. All right, yeah? Amanda had surgery when? Wednesday? Okay, so We got lots of surgeries. We want to make sure we blanket cover that. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we just come to you right now with so many needs, so many things that need to touch our hearts. I thank you for just this time that we've taken right now just to stop and hear some challenges to us to help continue to serve and meet the needs of the least of these. And just, God, I just pray for the ministry that we're going to do over the next month to Miriam's Kitchen. I also thank you for the youth rally and those people who served there, the young people who went, and that, God, just how your spirit moves, not only in those who we think that are older and more mature, but that the maturity of the young people who just have a passion for you. And I thank you for that. For all these prayer requests that we've lifted up for health concerns, for surgeries, for cancer, for all those things, God, right now we know that you are the chief physician and you are the God who heals. And so, God, right now we ask for your healing hedge of protection to be upon everybody who's here. But more importantly, we ask for your restoration and your healing to be upon them. Just as in the Israelites in the desert, you sent your spirit in front of them and led them, but you also covered them so that even their sandals didn't wear out. So God, we have many of us who may be here today that feel like our sandals are wearing out in life. And so God, right now, I just ask that you restore them and restore in us a new spirit, a new joy in you. And for this and all things, we'll give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
All right, I'm going to ask you to stand. I just want to continue our worship today. I feel like God is just moving powerfully today. You guys sense that? I just feel like God is touching us in a way that's just going to bless us in a different spiritual way this morning. I don't know what that is, but, you know, this song is just something on my mind today, and I think it kind of touches on a lot of things. So feel free to sing with me.
It's coming down, it's coming closer to this old town. Rich and poor, and weak and strong, it's bringing mercy, it won't be long. Healing rain, it's coming closer to the lost and found. The tears of joy, the tears of shame are washed forever in Jesus' name. Healing rain, it comes with fire. Not afraid.
Good morning. First scripture this morning is Psalm 90:12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And then we turn to Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it.
Right. Wow, we've had a lot already, haven't we? I really could go home, but I'm not going to yet. So we are in the middle of our series. Well, actually, we're in week three of our series called The Five. Okay, first week, we just kind of set stuff up. Last week, you remember what we talked about? Anyone? Our spiritual five. Remember that? We talked about those things and how we can connect to God. So if you missed that, you definitely want to go ahead and check that out. I gave you lots of scripture lessons and other kinds of things, so you'll really, hopefully you'll really like that one. So as I said, we're looking at, what is the five? We're looking at five things that can enhance your life, five things that you need. Now, does anybody need like life enhancement? Could that help? No matter where you are, I think we all could do that. Now, one of the things is, and this started because we started in the beginning of the year, and the beginning of the year, there's a lot of people who make resolutions. New Year's resolution. And when we started that on New Year's Day, most people in here hadn't yet come up with them or just decided they weren't going to, because when you have a resolution, what we find out is 90% of the New Year's resolutions don't make it through January. So it's kind of a waste of time for many. And most never find that thing that make the resolution stick. And so one of the things we've been talking about is not making resolutions, but letting God do a revolution in your life, a takeover, a change in that way. And now there are a few things that do improve and impact. And we want to let God, we basically just want to, in the series, want to let God be a major part of your life, something that God wants to give you power to change. And we never change life. And here's something I want to start and just say. You never change life unless you change life. Okay, let me say that again. You never change your life unless you change your life. Does that make sense now? At first you're like, what is he on? Okay, but you never do that. In other words, something needs to change in your life. You need to make a change in order to be the change. I know that's cheesy, but go with it, okay? It's there. So we need to focus not, and one of the problems that we have in life is because we focus on tomorrow or a couple months back later, maybe next year. We'll focus way in advance. And it's not all negative that we focus on some things in advance. That's good. That's planning. But sometimes we focus so far in advance that we forget to focus on what's going on right now. And so that's what we need to focus on today. So one of the things is, what I've found from several people, and we've talked about, is that secret to success is not in what we do often in the long haul, but it starts and it begins with what we do daily. It's the things that we do daily. And today I'm going to give you the most practical in all the series. And the things I'm going to give you today, you're going to be able to take them in. Slap them right in your life and be like, okay, let's do this, all right? So it's going to be very, very practical. And we're going to start with a scripture lesson from Proverbs chapter 17. And it's right up here. And let's look at what it says. It's an intelligent person aims at wise what? Wise action. But a fool starts off in many directions. Okay, so with that, what I'm saying is, aims means that you focus on something. You focus on something. Now, I want to tell you something, and this is going to be the biggest secret that you're going to hear all day. This world, the eternal part, the external, not the eternal, but the external part, has a lot of bad stuff in it. Okay? You're not shocked, I see. This world, Jesus told us this way, in this world you will have Travis Tripp fans, T-R-O-U-B-L-E. Okay, you will have trouble in this world. But he doesn't leave us there. He says, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And in the scripture, it tells us that through him, through Christ, we are overcomers. We are overcomers. But so we change ourselves, or we have the change that we need to have, but and have the successful life, because Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it to full and abundance. And we do that through Christ. We overcome. If we're looking for it out there, it's never going to work. Because we will always say, if I have this, if I had a better relationship with my parents, if I had more finances, if I had this degree, if I had this relationship, there is always an if that externally tries to fill what is void in here that only Jesus can fill. And so, but the fool does what? Sets off in many directions. Now, I'd ask for a show of hands, but I don't want to embarrass us all. How many of us are fools? Okay, we set off in all kinds of directions. We do this, we do that, and we look at that often as a strength. I can multitask, right? We call it that way. But you're basically doing a lot of stuff halfway, not even that much, a lot of us. And a lot of us pride ourselves in doing many things, but we're aimless a lot of times when we aren't focused or aimed at something. In business, there's something that has another name, but it's most people know it as the 80-20 principle. Anybody ever heard that in business? Okay, and what it tells us is that the few activities give us the most results. For instance, 80% of the effects come from 20% of the causes. 80% of sales come from 20% of the clients. And this is a consistent thing that people see in business, and so also in life. Now let's look at this scripture here. So teach us, look at this scripture, and this really pops out at me here when you look at this. Because a lot of times we are just, when it comes to activities, we think that just by doing stuff, we're doing the right thing. But we need to have them aimed at the right things. So we need to do, our action has to be the right things. In Psalm 90, verse 12, says, teach us to number our days. Now, in this society, we don't like to number our days. Like, for instance, if God told you, I can tell you exactly how many days you have left on this earth, how many of you would really want to know that number? Okay? Some of us would. Some of us would, and some of us may not. So we have, teach us to number our days. But he says, we want to number our days because it recognizes how few they are. When you look at the span of our lifetime, we are just here for a short term in all of history. And so in that time, we want to spend the most amount of time geared at the right things, to recognize how few they are, and help us, look what it says, and help us to spend them as we what? Should, as we should. We need wisdom from God is what we need. You know, there's an old story of a couple hunters. They were looking for a place to hunt, and they went and they found this woods that was there, and they thought, wow, you know, that looks good. So they walked on up, and they weren't the most intelligent people in the world, but they were hunters. They really wanted to hunt and do well. Now, I'm not saying hunters aren't, there's many brilliant hunters, but these guys were not that way. So they went and they said, well, let's go and ask. So they went up, knocked on the door, said, you mind if we go hunt in the woods? And the guy said, yeah, it's really thick and it's really deep. You'll find, you know, game out there. But here's what I want you to do. If you get lost, just shoot 3 times up in the air and I'll come get you. And he said, okay. So they went out and they went out hunting, and he was right. It was thick. I mean, it was like a Mississippi swamp area. I mean, it was so thick, and they, you know, like the Amazon, and they were getting through, and they finally, it was starting to get dark, and he said, well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm lost. What about you? He said, yeah, well, I'm lost. He said, what did he say? He said, shoot up 3 times in the air. He said, all right. So he went and shot 3 times up in the air. And they sat and waited. Nothing. Nothing happened at all. So the guy said, man, you know, that was 30 minutes ago. You better go ahead and do that again. So he said, go ahead. He went, shot 3 times up in the air, sat there, nothing. Another hour passes. It's getting darker and darker and darker. He said, you know, pretty soon it's going to be pitch black out here. He said, you better shoot 3 more times up in the air. And the guy who was shooting said, well, I would, but I'm running out of arrows. All right, get it? Just because, you got it now, okay. Just because we do actions doesn't mean we get results, all right? And so a lot of times, there's many of us in life that are shooting arrows up in the air, But rescue is never coming because we're doing the wrong thing. Okay? So you with me? I know. It's not bad. I still think it's funnier. Okay? All right. But we need, so what do we need? We need wisdom from God. Often we are doing something in life, but we're just not aimed at what is proper. And so what I want to do today is I want to go back and tell you this series kind of came from a principle by a great leadership, probably the leadership, he's called the leadership guru, and his name is John Maxwell. All right, and anybody's heard John Maxwell? He's excellent. John Maxwell loves the Lord, and he was a pastor for many years. And so he understands a lot of things about leadership. And John Maxwell said that, you know, it's not a secret, but it's in order to find out something, to be successful, it's not the project, it's what you are willing to do every day that makes it happen. And the example that we gave in week one and we've been bringing back is Maxwell says it's like you take an axe and there's a tree and you go out with the axe and you hit it five times one day and then you go in. And then you come back out the next day and five times again. And you go back in and you hit five times. No matter how big the tree is, if you continue to do that every day, it will eventually fall. But most of the time, many of us like to take the giant redwood and like to try to chop it all the way down in one day, and we get exhausted and we don't get anywhere and we stop. And so this is why he says successful people continue to do the same thing every day. And so we've been applying that to our faith in the series, The Five. And I want to give you a real quick pre-list, and then I want to get into some other things today, okay? Just real quick pre-list of things that we need to do to be successful are, number one, we got to find the right activities, okay? Find the right activities, not just any five swings, not just taking the handle of the axe and hitting it, but we got to go ahead and find five things, five right things, five activities, the right activities. We got to find the thing that's important, and this is where we're going to got to be in today's message. And when we do that, it helps us be successful, but it also honors God. No way. John Maxwell, I've read some stories and heard some stories about when he talked about people. He's written numerous books, and people said, how do you write books? And he said, you just got to start. He said, how did you write all those books? He said, one letter at a time. Okay? That it wasn't like, I've got the book. He started writing. And some of the things that he does is read every day. He files thoughts. He reflects and thinks. That's one thing that many of us in our society could really develop if people just started to think a little bit every day, and ask questions, and then begin to write every day as well. So by doing those five things in the writing field, he's written numerous books by doing that. Now, I just thought I'd share with you my working five, because I'm doing this as well. The week one, we put blanks on there, and I also put them back in this week as a working five for you to go ahead. And these may change several times. So these are some of the things, after analyzing my life, where I am, what has worked, and what I want to see work even better, where I am right now. And you may have some for business. You may have some for personal. You may have just, yeah, I don't know. You may have a multiple five list. But here we go. The first thing that I think is each and every day I need to have, one of my swings is I need to have God time. Okay? Whether it's word, prayer, worship, a combination, all those, I need that for my life. I recognize that. And I will tell you, as we talked about week one, you've got to put it in your calendar. You've got to make that. You've got to protect it, or else I will tell you life will steal it. Okay? So that's one. The second thing that I need more time for, and I really know that I need to have this swing, is vision. I need time to have vision in my life, not for me, for the church, and for everything. A couple other things that I think I need every day is time with my family. Because one of the things I recognize, as awesome as our vacations have been and stuff, my kids don't just want me 1 or 2 weeks a year. And they want me a little bit every day. My wife wants me a little bit every day, and you know why, by looking at me, right? All right. So a little bit of Jack every day, you know, keeps the doctor away or something like that. I don't know. But you know what I mean? And so because I got to tell you, you know, my wife and I have an anniversary on June 15th, all right? If that's the only time we spent time together, that's not a very successful marriage, right? And I realize that we're at a point now, you know, everything's good in life, but we haven't had time for just us in a long time. You know what I mean? So we need to have a little bit of time every day and then also have those special times together. You need to do that. The next thing that I want to do is minister every day. And what I mean by that, I don't mean like by, hey, let me preach to you. What I mean by is touch somebody's life in a positive way.
And that's it for everybody, to touch somebody's life in a positive way. Okay? You can do that. And then this one you may find is a little bit weird, but I think it's becoming more and more important to me as I look at my life, is the fifth swing is me. I need time for me. Jack needs time for Jack. And you got to have that. Whether it's exercising, whether it's me going to a counselor, whether it's me just doing something that I like to do, whether it's me playing Madden and hoping that the Eagles are going to win a playoff game when they're not even there. It's awesome. I mean, whatever it is, I just need that time for Jack to be Jack, okay? So that's kind of like my working five. And in 2016, there's a lot of revelation to me, and I've been having time to figure this some things out. So that's the first thing. And the first thing ultimately in this whole list is that we need to find the right activities. The second thing is we need to do them every day. The secret principle is consistency, not amount. Do it every day. A little chop here, a little chop there. Okay? And we have that every day. And the third thing that we have here is to evaluate or check up on our success on our five every day. I want everybody to hear this. Everybody needs to hear this. Slow down. Remember the old Roy Rogers commercial back in the 80s? Some of you would have to be born then. And where they were like making fun of fast food, and the one person was like, slow down, cowpoke. That's what we need to do. A lot of us just need to slow down. Look at the person next to you and go, slow down. All right, doesn't that hurt just to go like that? You just want to go, slow down. Right? You don't want to do it. But we need to just slow down for a little bit in life and just stop a little bit. Some of us are chopping away so much that we're not even taking time to stop and sharpen the blade. What I mean is when you sharpen the axe, like anybody ever chopped anything with a dull knife or a dull axe, you can chop and chop and chop. If you take time and you stop and you sharpen it, it'll be 100 times more effective. And so many of us need to slow down and sharpen the blade of the axe, and it'll be so much better. So just reflect on your life and do that. You need to go ahead and look and say, you know, hey, how good of a husband am I? How good of a father? How good of a mother? How good of a sister? How good of a worker am I? And ultimately, I think this is for all of us majorly here, how good of a believer am I? How good of a child of God am I? How would I treat my dad in heaven? How's that relationship? You with me? Okay. So what I've done is I've given you five blanks there for you to write your five, because that's what the theme of this is today, your five. And in doing so, let's take a look at some of these as we go more. In Jeremiah, we're going to use scripture. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, it says this. This is what the Lord says. Hey, guess what? Anytime you read that in scripture, this is what the Lord says, that means you better pay attention. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. In other words, when we talk about standing at the crossroads, we have an option. We have a choice. And you have five blanks there. You can take this sermon, and you can take this bulletin, and you can take it and stick it in the waste can and never think about it again. That's one choice. Or you can go ahead and take those blanks and write them down and apply them to your life and see if it makes a difference. All right? So that we have a choice there. What else does it say? Ask for the ancient path. One of the things that I think we get away from, not only in our life, but also in the church, is we get away from the basics and the fundamentals. That we need to go back to the basics and recognize that I am a sinner saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And start there and find out how our life unpacks from there. We need the basics of Scripture. And what does it say ultimately? And this is the main hope. Ask where the good way is, walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. I dare say there's a lot of us who have some non-rest in our souls, and we need God to go ahead and bring that together. So, you ready? You ready for this journey? Here comes the practicality. Number one, how do I find my five? So I'm going to give you a little bit of help, kind of like prime the pump here to help you find your five. Number one, you need to reflect on your relationships, At the end of your life, the most important thing is people. It's the most important thing in life. But there's a problem, because people are also the biggest pain in the rear in your life. Am I right? If Gary was here, he'd say amen, right? All right, so, because how many of you, let me watch, we're going to do this aside. How many of you love some people in your life and just can't imagine life without them? How many of you have some people in your life that you joyously imagine life without them? There we go. Exactly what I was saying. You love them, you hate them, they're there, and you have a mix in your life. And so we have that. What we find is, and I want to tell you something, it is no mistake that you have conflict in your relationships. The reason why is because all hell is out to tear up your relationships. It's not, what I find more and more, whether I've done marital counseling, I've done friend counseling, I've done personal counseling, I've done all this kind of stuff, and I can tell you it is never about the issue. Ever about the issue. The issue is a catalyst of a whole bunch of other stuff. But what is it about? It's about the fact that Satan knows that if he can destroy your relationships with each other, that he wants to isolate you and he wants to hurt you in relationships. And that when everything is all done, I said this several months back, when everything's all done, everything that we put our gear and are focused in, we're not taking with us. The only thing that's going to be in heaven with us is people, the relationships. And our relationship is all going to be rooted in Christ. So Satan wants to destroy our relationships here so that he can destroy the potential of our relationship in eternity and having that. Jesus promised that you would have a full life, and a full life means solid, healthy relationships. You can't have a full life without healthy relationships. I've tried. I remember a time where I was hurt so bad that I went ahead and I decided to become Brick Jack. You're going to look at me, I'm going to go, hi, yes, okay. And it didn't work for me. I found out that I was more lonely and more broken after that. Look at what it says in Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can do what? Help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Can you imagine going through life alone? You know, what I find, and one of the saddest things I've seen in life, is people who have loved God and who have been part of every church I've ever served and have been connected in what we call fellowship and, you know, it just togetherness. And I look at the church as a family. That's my goal. And so guess what? In your own families, you're going to have conflicts. In your own families, you're going to have love. You're going to have celebrations. You're going to have all those things. But guess what? I don't give up on my personal family. And we shouldn't give up on each other in the family of God. And so when we look at this, one of the things that I see is it's easier to put a... I see some people who give up and put a wall around their life and their heart and keep everybody out. It's easier to build a wall than to work through things. I believe people need a place to connect, and that's why the whole reason why the name of this church was called Haven. It's the whole reason for it. And I could tell you that has there been issues where people have had conflicts? You betcha, because people are people. But I can tell you that it is not my goal and is not God's goal to have conflict in this church. Honestly, I'm going to say this. If you want to cause conflict, there's the door. This is to be the family of God. And I believe that it breaks God's heart when his children hate each other or don't get together. I know it would break my heart if there's ever a day my kids don't love each other, don't care about each other. Yeah, that doesn't mean they don't fight. My gosh, Judah and Hannah, good Lord. All right? They're worse than all the other, whatever. But I'm just older. But you know what I mean? How do you think it makes God's heart feel? And I'm not only going to say in the church or in any church I've ever served. I'm saying across churches. I'm saying in the body of Christ. God just needs to tell us, get over ourselves. Who do we think we are? All right? All right. I'm done with that. All right. What does it say? Colossians. I want you to read this. I want you to read this with me from Colossians. Everybody, it's right up here. Let's look at it. Most of all, let love guide your life. Taylor shared with us about love today, didn't she? All right? Let love guide your life. Anytime you see most of all, you better slow down and see what God wants to tell you. All right? Number two, we need to reflect on your values. And by values, your values, what I mean by values, it means what is unique to you, what you value. And I'm going to give you two exercises to show those unique things of what you value. For instance, here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine two things. Either it's like your 90th birthday party or let's say it's your funeral. Okay? And people are standing up to share about you, and they want to share what they liked most about you. What do you want them to say about you? Because what you want them to say about you is what you value the most, and you want them to say about you. Or here's another task. You remember when we did 30 Days to Live? We did a study a while back called 30 Days to Live. What would you start doing that you aren't if you had 30 days to live? And let me ask you this. What would you stop doing that you are currently doing? That's how you find your values, right? I just wrote a couple down that I'd love for people to say about me, that I was a person of integrity. That means more to me than anything. Integrity, and that I was loving and caring. Two things that are important to me. You know, people can say a lot of things about me, but one of the things you can say is that I try with all my heart to be a person who lives with integrity. And I try to love people who God puts in my life and care about you. I generally do. I generally do care. All right? All right. We're going to skip over Micah's verse, but I want to go ahead and get to number three. Number three, and I believe this is the most important, and here's what we need to do. Reflect on your calling, on your calling. And I want to tell you, you are called. This is something that for years people called about pastor. Oh, you're a pastor? Oh, you received the calling? Oh, you're called? Hello, you're called? You got the calling, the call, the call, the call. Yeah, the call. He's called, he's called, he's called. They're called, they're called. My gosh, yeah, we're all called. All right? As I read it, we are the priesthood of all believers. That means we all have a calling from God. And how do we find that? You know, the crazy thing is this thing called church stuff that we've done for centuries made this separation between clergy and laity. Matter of fact, I get a master's of divinity. I'm a divine master. Listen to me. Right? No. It means that we are all sinners saved by the grace of God. Man, by grace, what I mean is it's love that we don't deserve. And the only way I get it is through faith in him who died on the cross. Only way I get it. So guess what? I'm in the same stinking boat as the rest of you. I just spent money to get a degree up there and throw on a wall. That's how stupid I am, right? We are all in this together, and we need to find our calling because ultimately we need to find out how we can impact something for eternity. You guys all do some awesome stuff in this world. But I want you to ask yourself, how are you impacting eternity? Whose life have you impacted for God? Who have you shared with him? Make a difference. Find it and then find how you want to make a difference. God gave you some awesome talents. Some people online are watching right now. You have some awesome talents, and God needs you in this world to apply it to his body of Christ. All right? In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, look at what it says here. However, the Apostle Paul, while working out his calling, said this, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me." And if you've ever read anything about the Apostle Paul, he was an incredibly gifted human being. Brilliant. Brilliant. Was creative. We know he could tent make. We knew he was a scholar in the religious law. We knew he was a Roman citizen. He had the cream of the crop, and he considered it all rubbish. Garbage for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus and finishing that task. In Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us, and you might wonder, well, how do I know I have a calling? Because in Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us, "For you are God's workmanship, and God don't create junk. Created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God prepared," when? "In advance for us to do." In other words, God created you with a calling. Look at the person next to you and say, "You're called." All right? Turn to the person next to you and say, "Did you get the calling?" And the answer is, "Yes." All right. Here we go. All right. This is what we do. You know, this is what Haven's to be about. I'm going to tell you what Haven's to be about. Haven is to be about church and coming together in small groups or whatever you might call it, just to connect so that we can grow together in Jesus Christ, all right? And you're never going to be happy in your life until you find out God's task for eternity. Three questions real quick that aren't in your bulletin that I want to give you to have. And the three questions, how you can help find this out. Number one, what is required of me? Number two, what am I really good at? What am I just really, really good at? And then, what gives me the greatest reward? Because one of the things that we've done in churches for years is we take people, warm bodies, and throw them in a spot, and it's miserable. But what are you good at, and what do you love to do? I love the worship team here, because the people that are up here love what they do, and they're gifted for it. You know? It's effortless, some of the people that just do it, you know? And then some of you are gifted and you just aren't doing it. All right? And that's just everything, okay? Everybody good? Number four is this, your personal growth. Take a challenge. Don't just accept the status quo. We read the Bible. The Bible's to bring about transformation in our lives. So what are you doing in your life to enhance and change growth? We have done, I got to tell you, we have done several things to make that available to you. We have a big Disciple 3 group this year, which is awesome. But one of the other things that we've done on our Facebook page, you can get the one-year Bible online. You can connect to that. Jim used his gifts, and this week, really, really, I come up with an idea, and he took it and ran with it and made it awesome. Now you can go to havencc.org. Every day you can scroll down. So here's what you do, havencc.org, return, scroll down, flick, 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 and it says today's Bible reading, and you get the one-year Bible. You can even listen to the audio version. All right? That's there for you to take with you. It's out there. In several places, there's apps, there's other ways to get the Word of God into you so that God can work through you, all right? So that's just awesome that you have all those opportunities in order to do that. Proverbs 29:18 tells us this, and it goes back to something that I was mentioning. Where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. Or the other thing, another translation says, cast off restraint. In other words, you're just running amok. All right? Habakkuk, that's a verse of the scripture that many people read. Habakkuk says this, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. In other words, when you're getting stuff from God and taking time to vision, write it down. Write it down. Write it down so that you can remember it. I told Disciple this week, I come from the deal that a worn, falling apart, written in Bible is one that has been used. And so you can go through this, and you can see this is the second cover it's had. It was given to me when I gave a sermon back in 1991. And this is the second cover because the other one completely disintegrated and fell apart. All right? And I've seen lots of Bibles. I have lots of Bibles, but this is my Bible. All right? I love using iPads now because I'm going old age blind, all right? I had on reading glasses the other night, and there's, again, no way to make them look cool. But you can go through here, and you can see that this is something that has been dear to me in my life, all right? It's where I run to when I need the voice of God, all right? It's where I go to, and that is there for me. So write those things down. Write those things down. I've known some people who've written down prayer requests in, like, one of the blank pages, and then they'll go back and they'll write prayers answered. And when you look at that over a lifetime, it is amazing to see what God does, all right? In other words, what we're doing is we're trying to take the right swings in life, not just shooting arrows in the sky, but the right swings. So we have relationship, we have values, we have calling, we have growth, and our last one is this, your faith. Reflect your faith. This was last week. This was last week's message. So I challenge you, if you didn't see it, go ahead and pull it up online. Take it on the app with you, whatever. And I believe it's the most important things. The most important things. Let's look at this scripture from Mark chapter 12 that's up here. And I want everybody to read with me the first four words that are up there. Ready? The most important one. Okay, when Jesus says that, pay attention. The most important one. The most important answer, Jesus, is this. Here you go, Taylor. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Notice he said, no commandment greater than these. In other words, and I've said this many times, how do you tell that you love God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind and all your strength? It's how you love one another. That's simple. That's how you tell God how you love one another. Love God. God, if God is center point in that, all four other swings are made perfect through him. Mark 8:36 is our last scripture lesson that we have. It's right up here, and it says this. Let's look at it. It says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? We spend a lot of time hacking away in life at lots of things. Take time, sharpen the axe, and let God move in a mighty way. Practical today? You got it? Apply it to life. Worship team, come on up. All right, everybody stand on up as we go here. In many of our lives, as we opened up with today, a lot of us have lives that all the leaves are brown and the sky's gray. And yet we're walking out there and we kind of see some sun and we'd love to have a little bit of that. You can have that. You can have that life and have it abundantly in Jesus Christ. We, during our prayer time, we found out that there's a lot of stuff going on. And so we want to go ahead and lift those up and all other things, but mostly we have a God who loves us, and he wants us to get our relationships right. He wants us to get our values geared in the right direction. He wants us to hear our calling, because you've been called. He wants us to grow, and he wants us to love him with all that we have, with our faith. Trust in the Lord your God and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. All right? A lot of us are cutting around the tree. Hack, hack, hack. Our hands have blisters. Our shoulders are tired. We're giving up because we're just hacking and doesn't see anything making a difference. You know what? Take five hits. Go back in. Come back out tomorrow. Take five hits. Keep doing those things and let God do a mighty work in your life. Lord God, I just want to thank you for the people that are here and those who are online. God, touch our hearts and just really have us just connect to you in a way that we may never have. And so, God, during this time, and there are some people whose hands are bruised and beaten because they're trying to chop down the tree under their own strength. And God, just help them put down the axe right now. I'm just come to you and sharpen that axe and be set for what you have for them tomorrow. Some of us here just need to hear from you at this moment. As Wayne mentioned before, your spirit's doing something awesome. God, last night and this morning, I prayed at my house and said, God, you got to do something today. That's all I said. And God, you have been doing something since before we got here. So God, I'm going to tell you and ask you again. God, in this room, we need you to do something. We need you to do something with our hearts. We need you to do something with our lives, with our minds. God, we need the potter to put back together our brokenness. God, we need the great physician to bring healing, that healing rain we sang about. God, we need your strength to face a world that so richly despises you and anything from you. Whatever it is now, God, you just minister to us as you would by your Holy Spirit. Fill this room and fill our hearts that we can have a connection with you we never thought. In your name, in the name of Jesus, this altar is open. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
pour out your grace, glorious grace, that I would be held by your perfect embrace. I am undeserving, you are high and worthy. All of my praise for this glorious grace. God, I'm longing to see you in your presence. All darkness will fade. Shine your glory, let glory surround. I'm longing to see you now. God, pour out your grace, glorious grace.
God, after that song, I just need you. I need you now. It doesn't have to be that we have this grandiose thing where we come up, or, you know, if we just felt led. That's awesome if we do that. But if you're just like right where you are and you just say, you know, God, I need you in some area of my life right now. I need you. Just kind of lift your hand where you are and just say, I need you. I need you. There we go. All right. So God, I just want to pray for everybody who lifted their hands, and even those who haven't, just say, God, I need you in any of the circumstances, in relationships, in values, in calling, in growth, and in faith. God, I'm having a crisis of faith right now. So God, I just ask that you just bring your glorious grace, Jesus Christ, the real nature of Christ. Make us real, not just a stained glass Jesus. Make your Son real to us through his Holy Spirit right now. In your name, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, awesome. Next week, all right, we'll continue week four of our series. We've got two more weeks. Week four of the series is faux faith. Okay, anybody French? Faux faith, okay? And we're going to talk about the things that keep us from achieving our faith. All right? Okay, say hi to somebody. Have an awesome week. Thank you for being here. Hey, you got two sermons for the price of one. Yeah, how about that?